the pitch. Swing and a miss. The ball gets away from the catcher, but the throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. Bush swung at a breaking ball in the dirt. The catcher, Smith, picked it up, threw to first, and the ball game is over. The Dodgers have beaten the Cubs by a score of 10-8.
Good afternoon and welcome in. This is Spiegel and Company. Company today being both Ruthie Polinsky and her lifelong stuffed animal, Big Dog.
I forgot he was here.
Yeah, one of the... Well,
he's
now
quiet.
He's very quiet. One of the texters says, all due respect to Ruthie, I think it's Big Dog that brings that air of stately professionalism.
Love it.
To the show.
He reins us in.
That was the end of the Cubs and Dodgers last night. I know full well that a lot of Cubs fans have stopped watching. I know full well that a lot of Chicago baseball fans who will watch the Cubs when they're good have not bothered to be watching. And I also know it's a late night game out on the West Coast. But I feel it's my duty, and maybe in part because of all that, I feel like it's my duty to help people understand just what happened there last night.
Please.
Because Michael Kopech, the former White Sox pitcher, is now the closer of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
And he has been unbelievable since he's there. Articles have been written about Kopech and what has changed. Oh, he's throwing the fastball a little bit less. He can throw his cutter for strikes. Throws the slider for fewer strikes, but he can throw the cutter for strikes. He gets ahead in the count. And people aren't just sitting dead red on the fastball, because Kopech has always had an unbelievable arm, but has had lots and lots of problems psychologically, mentally, being the kind of pitcher, not thrower, that he's supposed to be.
Right.
So he's been great as a Dodger. Last night in a 10-7 game, he comes in and he was not great. Dude couldn't find the plate to save his life. And he walked the bases loaded. So run game, and the bases are loaded and nobody's out because Michael Kopech is lost. The Dodgers have used all of their mound visits. Will Smith, the catcher, went up there for the sixth and final mound visit while Kopech is melting down. They have another reliever warming, but he wasn't ready. And it's like, oh my God, Kopech is about to finally show the Dodgers why the White Sox gave up on him. That's what I'm thinking as I'm watching this. We're seeing it.
Okay.
Like, there's the meltdown that, frankly, I still think it's going to come at some point
right.
for Kopech. Sadly, I just think it's going to come. But there it was last night. And so the bases are loaded and nobody out in a three-run game. Isak Paredes hits a sacrifice fly. One run comes in. It's first and second. Michael Bush is at the plate. Kopech at this point has thrown nothing but fastballs to the last two hitters. He can't find the plate with anything. He's certainly not going to throw anything but the fastball, and he can't even find the plate. You've got him on the freaking ropes. And there are men at first and second. It's Suzuki and Bellinger. Michael Bush, a lefty, is at the plate. That means there's a wide open lane from catcher to third base. And all of a sudden, there's a double steal. Listen to Boog Sciambi and Ryan Dempster, who were great all series long, on this call last night.
Runners take off. Throw to third. Oh, no. Man.
Get second and third, get that tying run to second base, but if you're going to steal third right there in the ninth inning down two runs,
you got to be safe.
Be safe.
So that's Boog and Demp. Here's the thing. At that moment on Twitter and everywhere, people are like, what is Craig Counsell doing? How can he call for a double steal? He didn't call for a double steal.
You can tell.
You can tell
you
they
can tell
know it.
They know that. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You can absolutely tell that they know that because they know Counsell well. And they
right.
know, why would you do that?
Right.
And it turns out afterwards, Seiya Suzuki says through his interpreter, Edwin Stanbury, that it was him on his own wanting to do it. And the numbers support it. You can steal on Kopech. I think he'd given up 5 stolen bases, I believe, as a Dodger. Overall on the year, I think it's 32 of 37 on Kopech. You can steal on him. But that means you got to know, get a huge lead. Suzuki didn't have a huge lead.
Right.
And so he did that on his own, and Bellinger follows him because that's Bellinger's job. But this is Seiya Suzuki crapping the bed in a really big moment in September again.
Nothing new.
This is, I'm concerned about some of the baseball instincts of Suzuki. But really what it is, there's some anxiety that goes on. Before we talk about that some more, here's counsel after the game. There was another base running error earlier in the game where Pete Crow Armstrong rounded first and took way too wide a turn on an RBI single of his, ended up getting caught in a rundown, and that killed an inning. So that was a really bad base running mistake by Pete Crow Armstrong. And then there was the one by Suzuki. Counsel admitted it was not him who called the double steal, and here's how he talked about it.
So against this team, you know, I've talked about it. We played two excellent games on the bases and on defense. Tonight we played a really good game, but we made two mistakes on the bases, and you know that contributed to just not being enough. Even you know, we had a great offensive night. You know, the bullpen gave us a shot. You know, the two mistakes on the bases, which are, you know, kind of inexcusable, frankly. You know, just is enough to not get past the team like that. And we can't make those mistakes. You know, because this team, the team on the other side is just too good. And so you know, you give them two outs. And, you know, who knows what happens, you know, if we don't make those outs. But those are outs that we can prevent. And we can't make those outs against a team like that.
Completely let Michael Kopech off the hook. And you've heard managers talk long enough to know how pissed he is right there.
Inexcusable is a huge word from a manager or a head coach, anyone in any sort of power. Inexcusable. Yikes.
Yeah, that's big time. Because what happens after that second out at third base, and now Michael Busch needs to get a hit and extend the inning or homer to tie it instead of just keeping the line moving against a pitcher on the ropes. Kopech gets a call on a borderline fastball to get ahead in the count 1-2, and then he can throw junk. And he does throw a slider in the dirt, and Busch flails at it, and that's the strike three that you heard at the top of the segment. Because Kopech got completely and utterly bailed out by Seiya Suzuki going on his own. And as the manager says, inexcusable. Yeah, that's as harsh as you're going to hear Craig right. Counsell be about his opponent.
Because that's really not Counsell's personality to bury players unless it's deserving, it feels. And
yes.
There you have it.
Yes.
And I'll say, like, last week when I was on the show with you, Speaks,
yeah,
we were mourning the Cubs season, you know, and then they just bring it back, suck you in. And then it's moments like that where you're like, this is... They don't even deserve for us to be sucked back in this moment.
They've made enough mistakes over the course of a year in terms of base running and defense, you know? It leveled up. They've been playing a lot better. The offense has been better. Offense has been
right.
Great, especially on the road.
Right.
And they've played a cleaner and better brand of ball. But you can think back to specific games that this team has lost along the way. It doesn't take much. We're talking about, at this point, five or six different games over the course of now 146 games played, or 148, wherever we are. You're talking about like five or six different games. If those are wins instead of losses, then they're right there with the Mets and the Braves, and we're still very much alive in this conversation. But you lose games on stuff like this last night along the way, and it will absolutely kill you. This one happens to be in September when they're holding on for a shred of dear life. I you know, Texter says, not a good lead, not a good jump. I'm fine with trying to do it, but as soon as you have that bad jump, you just stop. That's it. I'm not fine with trying to do it. I myself am not fine with trying to do it. Dude is on the ropes. It is Kopech, and right. He is in chaos. Let yourself just take advantage of his chaos.
Right.
So I know the double steal gives you two men in scoring position, and then it's just a little single, but I don't even think you need that much help. I think Michael Kopech was well on his way to blowing his first save as a Dodger.
The tone in your voice.
Pissed off, man.
It's sad.
You know what it is? Seiya Suzuki is their best hitter. He's the only hitter in that lineup with an OPS over 800. He hits the ball hard with frequency. He's a really good hitter. But he's not a guy that they can trust with regularity in right field anymore. And they know that. He's DHing a lot. And he's not a guy then who you can trust to make a good decision on his own on the base paths. That's a veteran, man. That is a veteran, highly paid, supposed to be your best player, frankly. And he's and he's shown too much. And he's one of these guys with a no trade clause. I don't know if he would accept a trade. I don't know if you even want to think about trading him. It depends what you do and what you add.
Right.
Because he's such a damn good hitter. But I'm really frustrated with him. And that's a big, big moment last night.
What do you do?
You, man, it's, I don't know, because there's very few spots where you can upgrade offensively.
Right.
Catcher, you can upgrade. You could possibly upgrade at second base, although I love Nico Hoerner, our friend and friend of the show, Nico Hoerner. So I don't want to advocate for that. But I'm sure that they will think about it in terms of what they can do. But I think you're going to run it. I think they're going to run it largely back with Isak Paredes at third and Dansby and Nico and Bush. I mean, it's possible at first base you could upgrade. Michael Bush is still not making a lot. He could be a bench player and a backup at first and second and more. So maybe they make a play for Vladimir Guerrero. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting offseason with lots of trade possibilities and a few, you know, free agent possibilities. But, you know, are you going to continue if, say, a Suzuki's a DH? And I think he's a DH. I don't think he's somebody that you want to play in right field as much as you thought.
Is Seiya Suzuki, bear with me here for a moment.
Yes.
Seiya Suzuki, Valus Jones Jr. the potential of what he can be and what your coaching staff wants you to be.
Oh, man.
But then you come up, you mess up in big moments.
Oh, boy.
Does that hurt? Boy. Listen, Valus hasn't done enough, I think, that to be as, you know, coveted as Seiya. But listen. Making mistakes in big moments, but you're hanging on for dear life because you want it to get better.
It's the tantalizing nature of talent like that,
right.
What you're talking
right.
about. Yes, different levels of what they've accomplished.
Of course, different
what they've
levels.
Actually accomplished, but yeah, there's a comp there. Man, our sports lives are littered with people like that, right? Our experience at certain athletes who have just tremendous talents like that, but they just... It's just a hard thing to trust.
Right.
Because human anxiety is what happens. Human anxiety is real. You could see it with Seiya in the outfield. Like, he would make mistakes on balls in the outfield. It's just overthinking and thinking too much, dropping easy ones and going to get difficult ones. That happens.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. Man. It's a beautiful afternoon here at the Pru.
Gorgeous.
Texters are getting in. Yeah, it's fair, Speaks. Kopech was in trouble. I think it looks different if it's PCA getting thrown out, but Seiya getting thrown
right.
out makes it bad. I agree. Texter says, Ruthie, the problem is that Valus has never done anything good.
Well, that's fair. That's totally fair. You're right. What I mean by that is, like, the coaching staff clearly sees something in Valus because they see the athleticism and
absolutely
and the explosiveness, and you're begging for it to be worth your while.
Yeah.
But then in the biggest moments, it's just you fumble the
yep.
return.
Yep. Texture's getting in. Jed Hoyer built a baseball team with zero room for error. They have to be perfect to be a playoff team. Yeah, it's an interesting build. That's for sure. Here's another one. Ruthie is great. When you know, you know.
Oh.
She's awesome, funny, and smart. Lock her up before Sunday Night Football offers her a spot on their pregame show.
Listen, if Sunday
that,
Night Football
huh?
offers me a job, I'm out. Everyone, just want you all to know.
You could report on that. People could bank on that.
If Sunday Night Football calls, your girl is... going to New York.
Tonight we have Thursday Night Football coming back.
Ooh, I'm excited about this game tonight. You know, obviously, my connections to the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's true, because you used to work down there and know some people down there.
Let's go, Bills.
Yeah. What does that say for the people that you know down there?
No. I love the people there. I love the people there. But, you know, there's always a little, you know, I've got my doubts about the Dolphins. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
Oh, I've got my Dolphins.
So, and is that based on, are you a Mike McDaniel fan or no? Did you cover him or
cover him.
You did?
I covered the Brian Flores explosion.
Holy bejesus.
And I know a lot of sides to that story.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. And I don't like how things went down there.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think Mike McDaniel's a great coach, and I give him a ton of credit for basically saving Tua's career. He deserves that. 100%.
And he went in, by the way, it connects back to our quarterback conversation.
Yep. Shanahan system.
Shanahan system, quarterback friendly, a lot of easier reads based on the coverage as opposed to pure progression, leaning more on that style.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
I think there's I just have my doubts, and I think the way that that team is built is really interesting to me, because when you have a rich owner that wants to pay everybody, mm-hmm. You can get the Tyreek Hills of the world and make everyone look better.
Yeah.
It's
interesting.
I could do a whole show on the Dolphins.
Yeah, you could. I'm interested now.
But I give Mike McDaniel credit for being a great offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I don't know. I'm out. The jury's out on him as a head coach for me.
Can somebody with that kind of personality be a successful overall leader of men in football?
Well, coach? I think he can be a leader of men. I just don't know how involved he is with the defense. And I don't know how the defensive players connect with him. And this is genuine uncertainty. And obviously I haven't been there now for a year and a half, but,
that's interesting.
Yeah. What happened this offseason left a really bad taste in my mouth. I just don't like the way that Tua phrased what happened there. I don't think anyone won in that situation, him and Brian Flores. I think I just didn't like how that transpired and the way that that story blew up again when it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, Brian Flores being painted as just like
a villain.
A villain and a taskmaster with no empathy or human touch.
Correct, which I know for a fact he is not that man.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And Stephen Ross, the Bears owner, or sorry, the Dolphins owner.
Yes.
Is an interesting dude and got Flores in
I just want to make sure everyone remembers that Stephen Ross didn't want Tua either. He would try to go get Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget that.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. By the way, Texter says, Saya is closer to Devin Hester than he is to Velus. That's interesting because we were making the Velus Jones and Devin Hester connection in terms of...
Interesting.
And so he brings it to Hester, and he's right in terms of not finding a position.
Sure.
You know? But good conversation. I like when we can cross the streams with the baseball and the football there. Speaking
Oh,
boy. Here we go. Now we're okay.
Man down, man.
Yeah. Ruthie, very concerned about the falling down of our set. Speaking of crossing the streams between... Yeah, right. You know, it's slippery over there. Speaking of crossing the streams between football and baseball, Jarrad Payton was on stage at a concert at Wrigley Field. We'll talk to Jarrad about that. And, of course, Bears and Texans next on The Score.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Jarrad Payton.
I always feel smarter when I get off the phone with you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Former NFL running back.
And Payton will hit pay dirt. Touchdown, Titans.
College football national champion.
Well, Miami has erased all doubts about the national champion.
Son of Walter Payton.
Shawn Michaels is in Diesel's corner, and Walter Payton is in Razor Ramon's corner.
Two most important guys in that match were on the outside of the ring, and Shawn Michaels and Walter Payton.
Right?
You know, I can't say enough good things about Walter Payton.
Super fun, and it's fun to see Walter Payton celebrating in the ring with his son after the match.
Sports anchor for WGN.
That was a really cool moment to see online. I wish I was there at the Pearl Jam shows at Wrigley Field. You're listening to Spiegel & Company, Spiegel & Company, right here on 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky is here. Her childhood stuffed animal, Big Dog, is here. And now the great Jarrad Payton is with us. And Jarrad, welcome in, man. Thanks for being here. It's lovely to see you on the Zoom, on the Twitch, on the YouTube, on all of it, frankly. And how cool was that? And how did it happen that you got to go up there on stage with Eddie Vedder at Wrigley Field? That must have been a thrill, man.
Speaks, what's going on, man? But first and foremost, I got to say, what's up, Ruthie? We haven't
Jarrad.
Met, but it is a pleasure to meet you via Zoom or whatever this
so
is.
Good
and
to
I've
meet
heard
you.
I have heard nothing but great things about you from K Shark. So pleasure. And I enjoy your work. You do amazing work. So,
so you
do the city proud.
Right back at you. Thank you.
Hey, and Speaks, you're pretty good yourself, man. You know what I'm saying? speaking company, you know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you, here's the thing, Jarrett. I've gotten a chance to hang out with Eddie a couple times and sing with Eddie a couple of times, and he's a sweet and gentle, delightful dude, like a very genuine, real dude. So I'm sure you had like actual meaningful moments with that man. I'm sure of it. Tell us about it.
Speaks, you're going to love this. Ruthie, this is something out of a dream. So I've been seeing through social media him wearing my dad's 34 jersey, and this has been over the last like 15 years. He wears it periodically throughout shows, but now this is the 34th year of Pearl Jam, so he's been wearing it every single show, and there's a reason behind that. I found it out when I met him, and so I called my best friend CJ, and I was like, yo, how is it that I'm 43 years old and have never met Eddie Vedder? I live in the city. I go to all these events. I'm around town. Like, how have I not met this man? He goes, I'm going to call you right back. We have mutual friends, the two of us. He called this friend that knows Eddie. And then she texted me with his number, with Eddie's number. She's like, text him. He's waiting to hear from you. And I'm looking at the number going, I can't text Eddie Vedder. What am I gonna say to Eddie Vedder, dude? Like, are you kidding me? I've met everybody in the world. Jordan's been to my house, all this stuff. But Eddie Vedder is like one of my childhood heroes. So I waited on it. I'm like, I'm not going to text it. But I was talking to his people in back channels of coming to the show, getting tickets. And I'm driving to work, WGN, on Thursday, the night of their first show at Wrigley. And I'm on a business call. And next thing you know, I get this long text. And I look and it says, hey, Jay, it's Ed Vedder. And I pull over. I told the person on the phone, I'm like, I got to go. Eddie Vedder just texted me. And so I texted him back. And we just started texting back and forth. And the one thing that jumped out to me is that he said he was always looking forward to meeting me, but he met my dad back in 1978 before I was born. And he said that my dad's kindness lasted a lifetime. And we were going back and forth, and I was on the news. It was like 4:44, and I'm sitting there. I look down. Demetrius is doing the weather. And I told him right before that I'm coming to the show on Saturday. And he wrote back with like all these texts like, yes, I can't wait, man. I'm pumped now. And I'm just looking at my phone on air going, just get off the air so I can text this guy back. Let's go. And we get to the show on Saturday, and me and four of my boys, we roll up right across from Wrigley and walk up, and he's got the 34 jersey hanging, tells me the story behind it, gives me a huge hug. We're just talking, and then he's looking at the cassette list, and he's like, you know Even Flow? And I'm like, yeah, I know Even Flow. What are you talking about? He goes, you want to come on stage after that song? And my boys lose it. And I get up and walk backwards like, you really want me to come on stage? And, you know, getting on stage, being there on the side, waiting for Even Flow to be done. And he's telling the story about my pops. And I had a few adult beverages leading up to that point. So I was like, yeah, let's go. Just don't say anything on the microphone and don't trip, because there's too many people out there with cameras. So I get out there and take that selfie, you guys. I did not know what I did at that moment until I got off the stage and looked at it. And I looked at my buddy CJ. I go, dude, I got to post this. This is epic. And I see the reason why he's still doing that close at the age of 60, because when you walk out there, Speaks, it is the feeling of seeing the city of Chicago at Wrigley. I'm drinking wine in center field with one of my idols. I mean, like, how do I go from getting the Taylor Swift, breaking the internet, to then hanging out? Introducing Mongo McMichael into the Hall of Fame, to then next thing you know, like in Wrigley with one of my idols. Like, super, super cool. And I'm grateful for his friendship. He's an amazing man.
That's amazing, man. And you deserve it, dude. It's beautiful. And I love how connected it is to your dad and the whole spirit of this town. Like, it's just, you're right there in the middle of the soul of this town. So when people talk to you, they feel that and they get that. I love it. Jared Payton joining us right here on Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score. Jared, let's squeeze in some Bears, man.
Yes, sir. I mean, let's do it.
We're expecting changes, and I think we're all expecting some strides forward for the offense. Are you expecting strides forward on Sunday night? What do you think we're going to see?
Yeah, I definitely. I've been listening to you guys as I was driving in from my house, and I just, there's a lot. I think for Shane Waldron, both of you guys were talking about it. There's a lot of pressure on him because he got this new toy and the first overall pick, Caleb Williams, who, as we've seen, and whether you watched him in college or you saw him in the preseason, like, you know, he has all the tools to be great. And you feel like offensively that you have set him up for success with a lot of the weapons on the outside. I think the biggest concern is up front with that offensive line, especially the interior, because some of the things that I saw, and he talked about this post game, was, you know, missing some of those throws. And you guys have been talking about footwork all day. When it comes to being a successful quarterback, your footwork has to be on point. It just has to. And I think when you're rushing stuff a little bit because you're seeing pressure that's getting in your face, that's changing it up. And this is the first time in true a regular season game, which is totally different than preseason, totally different, where you have all these expectations of what people are expecting of you, and you have to go out there and you got to prove it, where that offensive line has to find a way to get better. And one thing that I see, and I know I speak this all the time, a running game definitely helps out a rookie quarterback, takes that pressure off. So if you can find a way to really control the game on the ground, and some of the things that we saw throughout the preseason of those boots where we saw him, they have to know and be conscious that you are actually running the football on them. And then those boots give him an opportunity to take some shots down the field. I think that right there, and plus getting a guy like Cole Kmet integrated into this offense, he has to be. This is a veteran on this roster, when you look at it, who's been around. The fact that he was only targeted once last week, to me, is some issues. But that Shane Waldron is working on the fly to kind of figure this thing out. And that's what happens in this day and age, guys, right? When we look at the preseason, guys aren't playing a lot. So you're almost using week one, week two, like the preseason. And you're trying to maneuver things around a little bit. So a lot of pressure on Shane Waldron to get this right. Going to be hard. Ruthie, I heard you talking about Sunday night and the bright lights and all the expectations. I'm with you there. This is a good Houston Texans team with a good quarterback, and this is going to be more pressure on Caleb and company, especially on offense, to be able to put some points on the board. That's what I'm worried about. Where are the points coming from? But you can't depend just on this defense and the special teams to be able to do that for you day in and day out. Extend drives. Got to be better on first down, and you got to be able to convert third downs, because at some point, as the season goes on, this I'm telling you right now, this defense at some point is going to be like, man, I'm trying to get the electrolytes in me, drinking my Gatorade, and now I got to go back on the field again. You want this to be a balance, and I know the defense is cool early on, but this offense has to find a way to be able to hold up their end of the bargain. I think it starts with the run game, and everything else comes off of that.
Well, I was going to ask you about the run game. Obviously, you set us up perfectly for that question. What do you think about getting Roschon Johnson involved a little bit? How could he help establish the run game?
Well, we just know, Ruthie, how much of that young man runs the football hard. And listen, whether it's Roschon, whether it's Swift, whoever it is, you have to me, there's so many. When you looked at the roster after the preseason, you look at the running back room, man, it's pretty stacked. Why not use all these guys or get a guy running back by committee or whatever it is to be able to get the game going on the ground? The one thing that I love about Rojo, he runs the ball hard. And so getting him integrated, to me, is huge. And that sucks in what the defense has to do if you can commit to the run game. You can run straight at people. I'm a guy, I love running stretch plays outside zone. If you're having some issues, especially on the interior of that line, get these guys moving, Let these running backs pick their holes. And then off of that, that I love that boot action that we saw in the preseason. And now it gives you more options, but it gives a running back more options to be able to press it to that hole on the outside or find those cutback lanes to be able to get up the field and get north and south. You got guys inside of that running back room that can get it done. You just have to be able to commit to it. And it's hard to do that when you find yourself down early in the game to commit to the run.
Jarrett, Roschon Johnson is my secret weapon for this weekend. I think he's going to be active. He was inactive last week. I think they need help blocking the middle of the offensive line, and they need a back who is great at pass protection. And that's what they love about Roschon Johnson. It is a weakness of Khalil Herbert's. It's not something we know Velus Jones can even do necessarily. I don't know if we'll see Velus active, but I suspect we'll see Roschon Johnson active and get some use on passing downs where they used him last year a little bit because they like his hands and they like his pass pro. That's my prediction for this week.
Hey, listen, I'm cool with that. And I think, you know, my time, I think about my time when I was in Tennessee and with Steve McNair. If you weren't able to pass protect, Steve would not have you in the game. He would be like, yo, you miss a block in practice, go sit down. Like, go. I remember Norm Chow. He would look at Norm Chow and be like, yo, cool him up a little bit. He ain't coming back in until he gets it right. When you see Roschon and what he's all about, that's a part of his game that I really admire about a young man, especially being so young in the NFL, playing that position that you can be dependent on to be able to pick up blitzes. Not a lot of blitzes you saw a lot last week, but I think that could happen going into this Houston game. And you not only is there issues on the interior of that offensive line and some struggles there, but also if there are blitzes coming, you have to feel comfortable with being able to keep Caleb Williams protected. And you don't want him taking any unnecessary shots if he doesn't need to. Having a really good young running back that can pick up blitzes and also be effective in the pass game, to me, is so crucial. And Spiegs, I'm right with you, man. He could be that secret sauce for hopefully the Bears getting a win on Sunday night.
He is Jarrett Payton. He is, as a texter puts it, the Prince of Chicago.
I love that.
I love you,
Jarrett,
guys.
I don't know. I'm feeling good about as the week goes on, Jarrett. I'm feeling good.
We got to go, Jarrett. But Ruthie's starting to feel it. I'm going to pressure her to make a pick. I can't do it. But did you pick the Bears real quick, or are you going to?
I'm not telling you. People have to watch my show. But I just got to say this: when you guys were talking about Big Dog early in the show, I thought Glenn Robinson was coming on the show, and then I found out it's your stuffed animal dog.
Yes.
Oh, man.
With his own headset. Jarrett, thanks, man. You're the best.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Jarrett.
To you.
Bye, guys. Speaking of company.
Speaking of company, he gave us a Caleb and Company. Did you hear that?
I love it.
In an answer, he gave us a Caleb and Company as well. So you never know. You never know who gets a company. When we come back, the tone setter for this defense in terms of attitude was mic'd up. We will hear that. And we also got to talk about Willie, who is here. Not Willie Harris. We'll explain. Keep it here on 670 The Score. Mark Grody at the top of the hour with the latest sound from Bears camp.
Jalen Johnson. Jalen, you're going to be at our place tomorrow. I just heard you're going to be rolling around these studios. Can we get you anything? What beverage would you like to have here in the middle of the day tomorrow, Jalen?
Really, I'll probably say a water and a crayon apple. I love a good little crayon apple on the plane. It got to be in the can, though. It can't just be in the bottle. Something about the can make it a little better. So if I can get that, I'll be good.
All right, so here's the thing. We didn't have cran apple in a can, but we did have cran apple in a bottle. Tanny went and got the cran apple for Jalen Johnson, and he loved it. I think he seemed to appreciate it. I'll tell you, loved it. Shane loved it. Shane, like, tried. He's like, this is delicious.
Okay.
Like, Jalen's on to something.
Yeah, I think Tanny and I both understand now what the hell Jalen likes cran apple so bad.
Do we have some still left up there on top of the mini fridge?
It's a question for Tanny, I think.
Tanny, do we have any left, or is Studs taking
them?
Does someone have some vodka?
A little cran apple and scotch with Coach.
Okay. Coach. All right.
Yeah. Cran apple and bourbon?
Bourbon. That doesn't feel like... It's very fall. Like, it gives me very fall vibes.
I don't know if we have any bourbon up there.
Uh-oh.
I just remembered that damn it.
Hey, we're here outside at the Pru.
Someone bring me a bottle of bourbon for Wanstead.
If anybody would like to come by and bring a bottle of bourbon to Shane to share with Dave Wanstead, we would appreciate it.
Better be good.
The plaza is gorgeous. Isn't this? It's a good hangout here, man. Like, there's tables. People eat their lunches out here. You could come and just hang out and relax downtown, bask among the wonders of the city of Chicago. There's it's a little public park. There's some outdoor seating, all different kinds, a fountain and the greenery. And as I mentioned, the row of Adirondack chairs. I'm a sucker for the Adirondack chairs. There's something, seriously, there's something about the physicality of having your butt down that low and your knees higher.
Okay.
It's just like, it's comfortable. I can stay there for a while. It's best with like a really tasty beverage on one giant ice cube.
Sure.
You know, right there sitting on the handle. Maybe a cigar.
Isn't that like the attraction of the squatty potty?
It is.
Right?
My household loves a squatty potty.
Really?
Big squatty potty.
Big dog? You got a big squatty potty house?
Big dog. Oh, my God.
See what happens? 20 hours of live radio every week, Ruthie. You end up sharing a lot of stuff.
Sometimes you get suspended.
People know too much about me. Yeah. People already know too much about me. I've been on here for 3 days.
You didn't want to get in on the 9/11 jokes yesterday, but you're more than happy to talk about the bathrooms in your home.
I can talk about the bathroom.
Yeah, the squatty potty. But Shane, that is the joy of the squatty potty, I think, is that. So there's something about that position. Like, it's like a catcher's crouch. That's why AJ Pruszynski is so healthy.
I guess you're much more likely to have an issue in the Adirondack chair if you're not careful.
If you're not careful.
If you use the squatty potty at home and then you sit in the Adirondack chair, you never know.
Just cut a hole in the bottom.
I think it's something about gravity. Like, if you think about apes in the wild, like, how do they do their business?
Let's talk. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Can I give a shout out to Christine Theodore, who came over on this beautiful plaza and gave me these really cool handmade beaded bears bracelets?
Yeah.
They're beautiful. And her company's called Bullstar. Give them a look. Give them a look-see at bull_and_star on Instagram. bullandstar.com. These bracelets are so cute. Look, they're like bears' colors.
You're actually wearing them. You're digging them.
I'm wearing them, of course.
That's amazing.
She gave them to me. Bear down.
Wow.
Da bears.
you are dying to sing. There it is. Is it live or is it audio vault?
You'll never know. There's only our Twitch fam.
That's right. Well, Twitch fans get to see the big dog wearing his own headset, but that's neither here nor there. You called Jalen Johnson, I think, the tone setter of the defense. I was trying to remember because you were blown away by this mic'd up.
When I tell you, I was sitting in my car, not driving, parked, watching this, smiling ear to ear. Just, there's just something about the way that guy plays football, the way he talks to his teammates. I want that guy on my football team.
And let's listen to a little bit of Jalen Johnson mic'd up right now together.
Hey, sign out two, 1-2. We got something for him, Lil' J. We got something for him, Lil' J. We got something for him, Lil' J. He better be somebody. He better be somebody today. He better be somebody today, dog. Ooh, come on, Lil' J. They still don't believe in you. They still don't believe in you. We got something for him. We got something for him. We got something for him. A whole lot of strappies. A whole lot of strappies. They throw and make them pay. They throw and make them pay. It's what we wanted. Come on, T. You know the rule.
Don't blend in.
Be somebody. Be somebody. Make them talk about you. Be who you are, boy. Be who you are. That's it. Come on, Jay. Come on, Jay.
Good enough ain't good enough. Come on.
We're gonna take the ball away. Go home happy.
I hope he does. I hope he does.
Come on, Jay. Come on, Jay. Hey, turnover. Turnover. Your boy's second over there. Let's go.
Levis off the back foot. Floats it up for Boyd. It is picked off. Jalen Johnson seals the deal. And the defense wins the day for Chicago.
Hey, hurry up. It's time to party. 21 and up. 21. Hey, let's go. Let's go. Hey, way to eat today, Big Bill. Way to eat. Oh, yeah, I need to get home kissing my baby. Come in, get in with me, baby.
Oh, man.
It's time to party, 21 and over.
The best part of that is that when he's running off the field, he's saying, it's time to party, it's time to party, 21 and up. He's looking at Ryan Poles, and Poles is like giving him a hug. He's like, 21 and up.
Oh, my God.
It was great. That's so cool. It made me smile.
I love the, I got to go home and see my daughter.
See my baby.
See my baby. Got to go home and see my baby. I mean, it's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
I'm so glad you pointed that out to us.
They still
hurry
don't
up.
Believe
it's time
in
to
you.
Party. 21 and up. 21. Hey, let's go. Let's go. Hey, where to eat today, Big Bill? Where to eat? Oh, yeah, I need to get home kissing my baby.
Oh, man.
It's so good.
I enjoy that dude so much. Ruthie, when he signed last year,
Yeah. Like
I was overcome with this feeling, and I was like, man, that's it. I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
Like, he's not my friend, son, whatever, but it's just like he's been really cool with us and, like, let us into thought process and his family and everything and just, like, what he's been about. So, like, just so proud, but, like, it's so happy for him. And to see him still busting his ass now that he's been paid, changing his attitude not one iota.
He's been through it here, you know? Like, and to see him, like, get what he deserves and to watch him grow right in front of our eyes is so, so cool. I think a lot of people in Chicago are proud of him and happy for him.
An hour from now, Dave Wansdale will join us right here outside at the Prue. Later on this hour, you'll hear how the opposition sees the Bears from the very top. And Mark Grody is next with sound from Shane Waldron and more here on The Score.